I've had several people here recently ask me a really good question. In my mind, I believe it's a really great question. And it goes something like this, you know, Jeff, I understand that, you know, mindfulness meditation, mindful coping practice is beneficial and it helps me in several different ways, but really, why meditate? You know, why is meditation something that I need to be partaking of? Why is that a practice that I need to engage in? And it would be really tempting for me to launch into my usual responses that I, you know, when I talk to people about mindful coping and as well as mindfulness practice in general, I always tend to have some of the same things, and I realize this, there's some of the same things that I say. And it's not because, and I'm not wanting to address this in a different way because I think those things aren't valid, but what I do want to try to do is always look at this from a different vantage point, from a fresh perspective. And so the way I would answer this is very simply, you know, the question again is, you know, why meditate? Why practice mindfulness? And my answer would be, and I want to try to keep this as brief as possible, and those people that know me fairly well know that's not easy for me to do, but it is really, you know, why meditate? Because it is a support. If it is a practice that we undertake, it is a support that helps us more effectively cope with what I refer to as the full spectrum of human experience. And so someone might ask, you know, what exactly is included in that full spectrum of human experience? And the answer is very simple. Everything that we feel, everything that we think about what we feel, every conceivable way in which we react to what we are feeling, and also what we're thinking about what we're feeling. And not to get carried away with this, but it is, you know, the list can be fairly exhaustive. It can be a fairly long list. And it's, the idea here is not for anyone, there's no need to actually create a list. There's no need to really keep track of these various things. But the best way that I can characterize this is just to take a snapshot of, you know, from my own life. Yesterday morning, after, you know, not working formally for the past couple of weeks and spending some time on a meditation retreat, some of the time with family, coming back to real life, and this always tends to be this way for me and for many people that I talk to that are away from their regular routine for a period of time, that we kind of come back into it. Some people refer to this kind of like when they talk about, you know, rockets going to space, they refer to that, you know, when the capsule returns back to re-entry, once the capsule, you know, returns back into our Earth's atmosphere. And I've heard this term from people who have attended retreats before or gone on vacations. There's this time of what's referred to as re-entry where you're, you know, kind of having to shift gears and cope with your life the way in which you normally live it. And especially, I think the further, at least for me, the further away I get from that routine, the more I get my mind out of that regular groove that it's in terms of my habitual ways of being, the more challenging it is for me to re-enter normal life again and taking care of my responsibilities on a day-to-day basis. So for me, and this is there again, and I think it might really, and now that I'm saying this, it might be helpful if someone's listening to this and they're really wondering, you know, what is their full spectrum of human experience, to really just look at a snapshot of that instead of trying to mentally create an exhaustive list of all of those experiences, you know, literally taking a look at the last hour, you know, the last half day, the last week. And there again, the idea here is not to get carried away. I think there's too many things in life already that we have to keep track of, that we have to write down and catalog and collect information. This isn't really about this. In fact, I think this is the exact opposite of this. This is just really a way to take a different look at what the full spectrum of our experiences, you know, actually looks like. And I know for me, just as a great example, yesterday, I woke up yesterday morning And it was the strangest experience, and it hasn't ever happened quite this way before after returning from being away on vacation or being away on a retreat. I've always tended to struggle some with some doubt or a lack of confidence. And I think that has to do, it's very normal, I think, at least for me, in that the more I do something on a routine basis, you know, day in and day out, the more confident that I feel. And I think that really, I don't want to say that it's human nature in that way for everyone, but I know it is for many, many people who I've talked to about this. But I found myself yesterday in one of those really weird spots. I was feeling very strange. I guess you'd almost refer to it as, you know, I've heard people say it before, I felt weird. You know, what exactly does feeling weird really mean? And you can really call it anything you want. But then again, it is those times when we just don't feel like ourselves. We just don't feel right for some reason. We're in a place in our lives where somehow, some way, we're just recognizing and noticing that we feel a little bit out of kilter, or we're a little bit off. And the easiest thing to do would be to give in to those thoughts about feeling that way and really delving into it and analyzing it and trying to understand why do I feel this way? What have I done? And it always, you know, for me tends to lead to, and it's a fairly normal human tendency, some sort of guilt, some sort of, you know, what is it that I didn't do that I should have, or what did I do that I shouldn't have done? And then basically it progressed to a feeling of almost like what I call an anxious heaviness. This feeling of, oh my gosh, am I ever going to feel the way I used to feel? And then I start spending a lot of time trying to remember, okay, how exactly is it I used to feel when I felt normal? I want to compare that to this. And so this goes on. And what's beautiful about it is there's nothing bad about it. There's nothing wrong about it. It's interesting that this is the way that sometimes this is what getting carried away with our thoughts about our feelings, this is really what it looks like. And it's what it feels like when there is this, almost you're in this cycle of frustration, of this cycle of seeking some sort of answers, seeking some sort of comfort, some sense of solidity. And I could go on and on about what this feels like, but it's really only to make the point that the more that I try to figure out what it is that I'm feeling, what do I call it, you know, how does it compare with other feelings that I've had, there is this sense of getting so caught up in it that I forget that I am a person feeling a certain way. And this is really, to me, the essence of what the benefit of meditation is in particular. Obviously, mindfulness practice being a type of meditation, mindful coping practice really being a hybrid form of mindfulness meditation, and also with a component of coping on a day-to-day basis, you know, when we're in the middle of our lives. It's not the kind of meditation where we're sitting down with our legs crossed or doing any other sort of meditation. It's, you know, we're actually being aware of our thoughts and our reactions to how we're feeling when we're actually on our feet in the middle of life. But meditation itself is really meant for, basically meant to be a tool that just helps us. And there's really two aspects to this. There are two, you know, my understanding is there are two major forms of meditation. There is the form that is essentially just, that is used to calm the mind, that is used to just focus on one thing, whether that be listening to a guided meditation audio, whether it be looking at something and staring at something or focusing on an object. It's really focusing on an external object in order to calm the mind. And it's really the first step or the first stage of meditation practice. And it is in most people who begin to practice meditation, this is what they do. And I remember, you know, over 20 years ago when I started, I did not start practicing mindfulness meditation. I started practicing just, you know, what's referred to as one-pointedness meditation. It is just meditating on either an external or internal object in order to calm our mind. It's just paying attention to something else other than what we're thinking about what we're feeling, paying attention to something besides our own internal reactions to what's going on. And I know yesterday that at a very base level, that it was going to be very important for me to begin to start paying attention to something other than my thoughts about what I was feeling. And I was in the midst of a lot of that. I was in a loop of just, and it's almost like the more that I paid attention to how I felt, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay attention to how we feel, but if that is all we pay attention to and not to who we are or who we really are beyond those feelings, if we don't pay attention to the thoughts that we're having about the feelings, then those things really become our reality. We can get so locked in those feelings of not being right or feeling weird or feeling off kilter that can begin to define us. And that's really nobody else defining us that way. That's us doing that to ourselves. So step one is really calming the mind. There has to be some way of kind of stepping off of the treadmill. The mind is kind of grinding away, doing what it's doing, reacting to something that is being felt physiologically, something that is being felt physically, and we're thinking about it and ruminating over it. And it, by taking, some sort of practice that takes the focus off of our preoccupation with ourselves and how we're feeling and what we're thinking about how we're feeling, is really the first step. And once we're able to do that, then we can, once the mind is stabilized, or if we've practiced mindfulness meditation for, a fairly decent amount of time, we can actually go right through that first step. We don't necessarily always have to stop and calm the mind. But if we have practiced doing that some and practiced mindfulness, it is much easier to jump right into just being aware of what we're thinking about how we're feeling, about how we're reacting to something that's going on either within us or something around us or something happening to us. And the idea here is that it is really about training the mind to be able to be willing to focus on just one thing, in order to be able to kind of get off that treadmill of thinking and the obsessive thinking that goes on when we get caught in a loop of reacting to how we're feeling, and when it's actually taking us away from the here and now. And really that, focusing on one thing, whether it's the breath, whether it's walking meditation, whether it's, body work like Tai Chi or Qigong, whatever that is, it could just be literally just listening to yourself breathing in and out. It could be listening to an app on your phone or some sort of audio tape where someone is basically, reading or speaking a guided meditation that allows you to visualize being somewhere else other than locked in your mind, overly focusing on how you're feeling and what you're thinking about how you're feeling. And then it is possible after that, if one chooses to then go to the next level and start paying attention to those thoughts themselves. When you're just focusing on one object, you're not necessarily going to really be aware of what you are in. And really the idea is you're not supposed to be doing that. Because in that first level of meditation, you're really just trying to calm the mind. It is just doing what it's doing. So when you start practicing mindfulness, it's a matter of the mind then is really focused on whatever it's focused on. And I know that sounds a little circular and maybe a little strange, but that becomes the object of meditation. And I know that sometimes it gets a little tricky because there is not a lot of talk about meditation as much as there is about mindfulness itself. And so it's really, I feel like it's very important to remember and remind people that mindfulness really is a form of meditation. It's a way of training the mind to focus on something else besides our habitual reactions to what we do. And so we get to a place where if we can focus on the actual thoughts that we're having themselves, whatever it is we're telling ourselves about how we're feeling, however it is we're reacting, if we have a narrative, if we're telling ourselves a story about it, if we're justifying the way we're acting when we're reacting to something, whatever it may be, whatever it is we're telling ourselves about who we are. In the end, it is really about training the mind to pay attention to the actual content of what it is that we're doing, how we're reacting, how we're talking to ourselves. You know, what does our self-talk like? And I think looking at the practice this way, hopefully, will illuminate this in a little bit of a different way than at least that I have talked about it in the past. And it is really a way of kind of starting back at the beginning and really understanding the practice, taking the larger view about what this practice really is about. And I know that for many people who have not practiced, you know, any type of meditation at all, you know, beginning with really, you know, focusing on one object, whatever that is sometimes the best way to get started. And then once the mind gets more used to, you get more used to paying attention to one thing, then you can begin to have a little more of a stable foundation to start utilizing the object that you are paying attention to is the content of your own thoughts, what it is that's going on in your mind. And then that is really looking at the practice holistically. That is really what it's all about. And I hope that this is helpful in some ways to take a kind of a larger look at this, to really understand the practice in its entirety and what it really is all about.